Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll stand out of respect for the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read out loud to you verse 8, 9, and 10. Listen to them very carefully. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I want to point something out to you real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we see what salvation is in the first two verses. So let me read it again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That tells you about the salvation that God made available. Then, in verse 10, there is an element of separation that is applied. It says, for after salvation, we are his workmanship. See, he's wanting to create something with us after salvation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Remember, salvation is from something to something. And so now he says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you see salvation. And then in verse number 10, you see that we are separating from something to something. And it goes along with the concept that we learned in an earlier lesson. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, bless us. Now, help the logic that it would be simple, that everybody would understand. God, there are some out there that are confused about people when they live holy or when they live separate from the world, and they're confused about what that's really all about. May we clarify it in our thinking tonight, please. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said, hey, and control what is heard. Control our perceptions so that we understand the Bible right, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you have never heard the term legalism. In religious circles, it's used, and to be honest, it's used to attack or to criticize the pure Bible teaching of the subject of separation. The words legalism, the word legalist, is how they do it. So if you practice legalism, they would call you a legalist. When I was pastoring up north, there was a man that was a professor, and he worked in the Washington, D.C. area. And I got into a conversation with him one day, and he had asked me a couple of questions, and I told him, I said, well, salvation is a gift that is made available to us by God, and you're saved by grace through faith. And then he asked me another question. I said, well, you're to live holy, and you're to change your life after salvation. And he said to me, you're a legalist. You practice legalism. And I said, no, sir, no, that's not so. And he was a professor and had a bunch of degrees and everything. And he asked me the same couple questions again. I said, well, you're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. I said, but then after you get saved, you're to clean your life up and you're to change. He said, you're a legalist. And I challenged him. I said, could you show me that term, legalism, in the Bible? He said, well, I know it's in there. I said, and then you called me a legalist. I said, do you feel like that's in there? He said, absolutely. Well, just so you all know, folks, the term legalism is nowhere in the Bible. The term legalist is not in the Bible. There are 66 books of the Bible, and the term legalism or legalist is not found in any of them. Just so you know, I checked. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and the word legalism or legalist is not found anywhere in it. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. It's not found in any of them. There are 783,137 words, and not one of them is legalism or legalist. There were somewhere between 35 and 40 men that God used to transfer the Word of God to us, and not one of them ever spoke the term legalism or legalist. Jesus never said anything about legalism or legalist. And Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible that we call the Pentateuch, he never mentioned it. And my professor friend in Washington, D.C., though I never got the privilege of humiliating him. The word legalism and legalist is nowhere found in the Bible. Even our God, the all-knowing God, that word doesn't exist in there. Now, stay with me. I'm going to be quite simple tonight. But as we're studying the subject of biblical separation, I think this will help you. Because somewhere along the way, eventually, as you're trying to get your life straightened out and you're trying to live your life clean and holy, sanctified or set apart, somewhere somebody's probably going to say, you're a legalist, or that's legalism. Now, you don't have to get snotty with them and say, well, let me tell you, that word's not even in the Bible. And you don't have to tell them how many chapters, verses, words, and authors there are to do it. But I do want you to know what that means and what someone is trying to say when they say that. So, stay with me. The logic will be simple, but the lesson tonight is lesson number 7. Separation is not legalism. Number 1, who invented the term legalism? Where'd that come from? Well, I'll use a scripture to give you my idea. Who invented the term legalism? Well, John 8:44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. I think it was invented by the devil, who is the father of all lies. It was developed, maybe, by some weak or liberal preacher, to be honest, that didn't want to be associated with separation or holiness. Maybe they themselves did not want to teach the subject of separation, but at least they did not want to live separation. But I don't think, as a matter of fact, I'm sure, the term legalism and legalist, it was not invented by God. It was not invented by God. It was not invented by then God's Holy Spirit. It was not invented by Jesus, the Son of God. It was not invented by anyone that is a friend to God. Because in a moment you're going to find out it's a slap to some very pure things that God teaches. That term, it's a negative toward the things that the Bible teaches. So, you'll think this is a little rough, but I think it was conjured up like a witch's brew by wrong-thinking, progressive, so-called religious people to cast a spell on God's sincere people. Who invented the term legalism? I've got a hunch. Old Smutty Face created that word. But I'm going to promise you this. Get your Bible out. You won't find that term anywhere in the Bible. It's not in there. So, number 2. What does this wrongly used, either man-made or devil-made concept of legalism, what does it mean? What do they mean if they say of someone you're a legalist or you're practicing legalism? Now, I thought, okay, let's see what the dictionary says. See if the dictionary picks up on this. And it did. It did. It says, the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works. Okay? So if someone says you're a legalist, the dictionary says that's a doctrine that salvation is gained through good works. In the word legalism, you see the root word legal, which is a derivative of the word law. You see how they're all connected. But folks, when someone criticizes us for practicing separation by calling us legalists, they're saying we believe you are saved by the keeping of the law. Now, there's some of you, your antenna ought to go up right now and say, well, that's not what we believe at all. Well, I know that. But they mistakenly throw that word at us, saying you're a legalist. Now, they're saying we believe in work salvation. They're saying we believe in lordship salvation. They're saying we separate from the world to earn our way to heaven. And don't get ahead of me. This is just one point. We're going to have some more points that will help explain things further. So, the title of the sermon is Separation is Not Legalism. Point number 1. Who invented the term legalism? Well, it's either some very, very liberal religious person or the devil. What does that wrongly used man-made concept of legalism mean? Well, the dictionary says it's the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works. But when people throw the word legalism at you and I when we're living a separated life, they're saying you are separating to get saved. Let me go on. Point number three. Salvation never has been by the keeping of the law. Salvation never has been by the keeping of the law. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 22, it says, "For if righteousness had come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And what that's saying to us is, if the keeping of the law saved us, well, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come and live 33 and a half sinless years, get crucified, get buried, and raised from the dead? I mean, if it's the keeping of the law that saves you, who needs Jesus? And to me, those that believe the keeping of the law saves them, that is a slap in God's face, because you get saved by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So, salvation never has been by the keeping of the law. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." What works of righteousness? Any works of righteousness. I one day was talking to a man about his salvation. I said, "If you die today, would you go to heaven?" And he said, "I believe I would." Now, anytime somebody tells me they think they would, or they're pretty sure they would, my antenna goes up right away. And the guy was a little complicated in his thinking. And so I pulled out a card and I said, "Sir, I'll tell you what, if you were to die today, what are you depending on? Are you depending on Jesus? Are you depending on your good works?" He said, Oh yeah, both. I said, "Well, what percentage are you depending on good works?" He gave me some percentage. I'm thinking, boy, what a knucklehead. He gave me a percentage. I said, "And that, does that mean if you're depending 25% on your good works, the other 75% you're depending on Jesus?" He said, "Yeah, that's pretty close." I said, "Where'd you find that in the Bible?" He said, "Well, it's got to be in there." I said, "Boy, I'm hearing people say that sort of stuff all the time. Got to be in there somewhere. Where'd you hear it? I heard it on TV." The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." It said in Galatians 2:22, "For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24 says, "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You say, what's that teaching? The law of God educates you about the fact you aren't good enough to save yourself. And then you say, "I need Jesus because I can't do it." It's not by your works of righteousness. It's by His mercy He saved us. So, in Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified." And that justification, that word is just as if I never sinned. That is what is given to you, a sinlessness, not because of you, but because of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, folks, And I realize there's some of you, if you're not careful, you get to reading all sorts of stuff and you believe everything that you hear. But, you know, Old Testament people were saved by grace, not by the keeping of the law. In the Old Testament, you say, what about all the law? The law was there to tell them that they needed a Savior. Remember all the bulls and goats and turtle doves that were killed in the Old Testament? Just please be reminded, those were all a picture of the coming Messiah. Those were a picture of Jesus. Every goat that was shed, that was blood that pictured Jesus. And that's why John said in John 1:29, when Jesus showed up, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The people in those days, back in the Old Testament, as they gave the sacrifices, they were placing their faith in the predicted Messiah that would one day come. It wasn't the keeping of the the law that saved them. It was their faith in what that blood being shed stood for. We look back at Calvary. They look forward to Calvary. And a few people got to look right at Calvary. But you always have been and always will be saved by faith through Jesus Christ. So salvation never has been by the keeping of the law, not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. So number one, I ask myself, who invented the term legalism? It had to be the devil or someone strongly influenced by him. Number two, what does that wrongly used man-made concept of legalism mean? Well, the dictionary says it's the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works. When people throw legalism or the term at us, when we talk about being separate from the world, they're saying that we believe that separating from the world saves us. I said number three, salvation never has been by the keeping of the law. Number four, salvation has always been by grace, blood, and faith. Salvation has always been by grace, blood, and faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's salvation. Adam and Eve were given animal skins to cover their sin, to picture the shedding of blood when they fell. Genesis 3:21 says, "The Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them." Let me remind you, you remember when Adam and Eve, they fell, and they went out and sewed fig leaves together. Well, there's no bloodshed when you sew fig leaves together. And God said, your covering's not adequate. So God said, we've got to shed blood. Why? Adam and Eve, all the way back, the first two people, when their sin was covered, it was covered by the shedding of blood, which was a picture of the faith that needed to be placed in the Messiah who would shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. So salvation has always been by grace, blood, and faith. It was so in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It was so for Adam and Eve. Jesus was called in John 1:29, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know that the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's found in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. Well, when we get to researching and when we don't want to go back to some personalities that were way back in the New Testament, well, we've all gone all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now you take Noah. He was alive back then. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, that Abraham was justified by faith. Well, Abraham lived in the time of the law, but that law was there to tell Abraham that there ain't no way we can keep all these laws exactly right. That's why they need to put their faith in the coming Messiah. The Bible says in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It didn't say Abraham kept the law. It said he believed God. What is that? That is Abraham putting his faith in what God said about the coming Messiah. So, salvation always has been by grace, blood, and faith. Let me go backwards, and let me remind you. The sermon's title is, Separation is Not Legalism. Who invented the term? The devil. And some confused people. What does it mean? Well, the dictionary says it means somebody believes they get saved by the keeping of the law. People that throw it at separated Christians are saying you believe that by living a separated lifestyle, you're getting saved. You're earning your salvation. Number three, salvation never has been by the keeping of the law. Number four, salvation always has been by grace and blood and faith. Number five, then why did the devil, or why did these misled men invent this non-biblical term of legalism or the term legalist? Well, I'll use scripture, I think, to cause confusion. To cause confusion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion. Man, the devil throws that word legalism and the term legalist around, and it confuses people. God doesn't want us confused. God wants us to understand. I think this also. I like this word. I use confusion as the first explanatory word, but I think I like the word that I'm going to use next, and it's frustration. I believe that the devil wanted frustration about separation. Let me read to you a verse. Galatians 2:21, it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Here it's saying, people that talk about being saved by the keeping of the law, that frustrates the grace of God. Listen, it's very, very clear. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say when it says any man should boast, that means people be walking around saying, I saved myself. I kept the law. I saved myself. Buddy, you didn't save yourself. And you're going to be sadly mistaken when you try to get through the pearly gates with a little button on it that says, save myself. They say, you missed your turn. You're going someplace else. So why did the devil or these misled men invent this word that's nowhere found in all 66 books of the Bible, legalism or legalist? I think the devil did it to cause confusion. I think it was there to frustrate the pure teaching of the Bible. I think it's there to attempt to eliminate or to dilute the pure teaching of separation. I think the devil, when he started getting people to throw this term legalism or legalist at separated Christians, I think he is trying to both either eliminate or dilute the pure teaching of separation, the pure teaching of sanctification. Remember, don't let that word scare you. It just means set apart. I'm leaving something that's negative and going to something positive. That's what separation is. So, listen to this. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And the truth is, when somebody calls you a legalist because you separate from the world, they're spreading fables. What's a fable? Well, it's a lie. Where does it come from? The father of lies. It's a fable. It's not true. It's a story. They're telling story. They're telling stories on us. Somebody spread a story about people that believe you are saved by grace, but after you got saved, you ought to clean up your life. They're spreading untrue stories, and it's like a nursery rhyme. It's not true. It's like Hollywood. It's not true. What's happening? To eliminate the influence and the power that holy living produces. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me clarify in case your mind is wandering a little bit. You get saved by grace through faith. And God saves you, and He gives you security within that salvation. Then he said, I want you to clean up your life and separate from the world. And if you'll do that, I'll provide you with power and success. It's going to make your life better. And that's the program. That's what separation is. So now let me go on to point number 6. The last point was this. Why did the devil or why did these misled men invent this non-biblical term of legalism or the non-biblical terms of legalism or legalist? Now, number 6. If someone calls you or calls us legalists because of our practice of separation, they're 100% wrong. They're 100% wrong. We don't in any way believe you live according to the law to be saved. In any way, shape, or form. I personally have never believed that. This church has never believed that. Maybe there's someone in the church that believes it. But God help you. You need to get saved then. We believe that salvation is a free gift. You say, what? The Bible says it. The Bible says it's a free gift. See, folks, we do not separate from the world to be saved. We separate from the world because we are saved. Let me say it again. We don't separate from the world to be saved. We separate from the world because we are saved. We don't believe that you work your way to heaven. Not at all. We do not believe that the keeping of the law ever has or ever will save someone. We do not believe that you're saved by your works. We do not believe that you change your life to get saved, but that you change your life because God saved you. Somebody will take this and twist what I'm about to say. Folks, you can get saved and make sure you're on your way to heaven and not separate from the world and go to heaven. Now, you'll be miserable on your way, and you won't accomplish everything you're supposed to accomplish. But salvation is a free gift given to you by God. And some of you who believe strongly in separation, you need to be careful. Separation doesn't save you. You say, well, I know somebody got saved and they're not separated. They lose their salvation? You can't. You don't lose it. You didn't do anything to get it except receive it as a free gift. You say, why? Because God knew you couldn't have done it yourself. He'd have to take care of it. And so He saved us. Now, let me again remind you. The sermon's title is Separation is Not Legalism. Who invented this? I believe the devil. What do they say? What is this legalism? What's it mean? Well, it means you believe that you keep the law to be saved. But they throw at us and say your separation is the keeping of laws. Therefore, you're depending on that for your salvation. But number three, salvation never has been the keeping of the law. Number four, salvation has always been by grace, blood, and faith. Number five, so then why did they devise this term? It is there to frustrate. It is there to confuse. It is there to dilute and eliminate the teaching of holy living after salvation. And if somebody calls you a legalist because you separate from the world, they're wrong. If somebody calls your church legalist because they separate from the world, they're wrong. It is fun. People throw words around and then they'll tell me, it's in the Bible. It doesn't even exist. But you understand they're misrepresenting what legalism would mean if it did exist. And number seven, the same grace that saved us teaches us to practice separation after our salvation. Let me make this statement again. The same grace that saved us teaches us to practice separation after our salvation. Let me have you turn in your Bible real quick. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. If you go to Titus chapter number 2, then find verse number 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. I made this statement. The same grace that saved us teaches us to practice separation after our salvation, it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Notice, the grace that brought us to salvation turns around and tells us, now that you're saved, there's a way you ought to live. To be saved? No, I'm already saved. Well, I live that way because I am saved. And you say, well, why? God saved you. I think you owe Him everything. I think you ought to clean up your life. Why? He said to. Explain it better. God doesn't owe you any explanation. Now, He does explain it. But He doesn't have to explain it. He just said, there's a way I want you to live after salvation. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. But I'll read it again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. See, grace teaches us that we are to deny ourselves some things. That word deny there, it means to reject, to refuse, or to separate from. And remember, we separate from to. We're separating from something to something. So here, we're told that we are to deny ourselves some things. And God tells us it is the very grace of God that teaches us after salvation that we ought to be living a holy life. Grace teaches us to deny or separate from ungodliness. That's what this verse says. Grace teaches us to deny ourselves or separate from lusts. Grace teaches us to deny or separate from worldliness. That's what this verse says. Grace teaches us to deny or separate from the lust of the flesh. You say, well, if I'm going to separate from the lust of the flesh, to what should I separate? The lust of the Spirit. With the passion after which you chase after fleshly things, the same passion, you ought to use it to chase after spiritual things. The passion that you have to fulfill what your body wants that's wrong, God said, you separate from that passion for wrong, turn it into passion for right, and walk in the Spirit and do what the Spirit of God would have you to do. Grace teaches us to separate unto sobriety, unto righteousness, and unto godliness. So, what I said for point seven, the same grace that saved us teaches us to practice separation after our salvation. And if you read what was said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, God was saying, I saved you, and the grace that I used to save you teaches you now you ought to do right. You ought to live right. Separate from some things. And you know, the word deny, I think it's a very key word there. Denying ungodliness. Folks, I wish, and maybe you all are different than me, I wish I enjoyed all the separation that I practice in my life. I have to tell you, there are things that I've come across that the Lord said separate from that I said, I don't want to. I want to do that. But you know what I needed to do? I needed to deny myself. I think when I go to deny myself, the reason that word deny is key is because my flesh wants it. I must deny my flesh. And so you understand, that's part of separation. You say, well, Pastor, I'd separate if I felt like it. Man, you know, I did everything but I felt like it. I wonder how many of you would have gone to work today? How many of you would have paid your bills? I got to feel like it to do it. You really believe that? Tell that to the IRS. I'm not giving you money. I don't feel like it. It's not feel like it. We deny ourselves based on Scripture. And the flesh, and there's that constant warfare that goes on between the old nature and the new nature. And the old nature says, don't deny yourself. And the new nature says, you better obey God. That's what separation is. Sometimes you'll deny yourself and yourself won't like it. I've had many conversations with me. Now, me wanted to do something and the other me said, you can't do that. I said, well, I can. Well, you better not. I mean, I've had, have you walked away from something thinking, man, no fun. That's denying oneself. So, separation, when someone uses the term legalism or legalist, they're trying to say you think you get saved. Look, I say to you, I don't think you ought to listen to rock music. I can prove it to you in 100 different ways in the Scripture. Why? You say, you're a legalist. No, no. I was saved by grace. You want to call me a holiness? I do believe in being holy. A sanctificationist? Oh, we believe in that. A righteousnessnessist? Okay. But I didn't do any work to get saved. I received a free gift. And God saved me. And then he said, now separate from things in the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's just saying, after you get saved, there's a way you ought to live. And you know, I think just about everybody believes that. They just don't want to believe it to the extreme that the Bible teaches it. I don't think anybody thinks you ought to get saved and then just go do a bunch of bad stuff because you can. Everybody believes in an element of separation. So, I hope that somehow you can put in your heart and in your mind a confidence. When you go to separate from the world, it has nothing to do with your salvation. That's a done deal. You're saved. You're not doing it because you have to. Really, You're doing it out of honor to God. And I might even say, I think we get to. You say, well, what does he want me to give up? What's it matter? You're not going to hell. And there's a lot of things that you will gain as you get away from the world. A lot of things. You'll be more productive in life. You'll make a better mom. You'll make a better dad. You'll make a better employee. You know, employees that come to work high are not good employees. Separation would fix the economy of America. We just get away from bad things. We wouldn't have all the waste and all the destruction. But I hope somehow, the next time somebody throws the word, you're a legalist. You practice legalism. Hey, again, don't be a smart aleck. I'll do that for you. But realize that's not so. You were saved by grace through faith. That's what we believe. That's what we've always believed. We believe thereafter there's a way that we ought to live. And that is to separate from some negative things to some positive things for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight? Hey, listen, let me start out with this. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're not saved, I welcome you to the Savior. You need to get born again. There's a gift. It's called salvation. It was paid for by Jesus Christ. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be saved, you merely realize you're a sinner and that Jesus paid for your sin with his death, burial, and resurrection. You ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. You do that by faith and he will save you. That's what salvation is. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand? Excellent. What a wonderful feeling. I pastor church, and from all indications, every single person that's in this service this evening has trusted Jesus. Now, Christian, you need to make sure that you get yourself away from the things that would hinder your Christian life, that would taint the family name. You're now part of the family of God. That's what separation is. So I hope that you'll learn to separate. The question, though, about the sermon is this. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I understand that term now. I understand even to some degree how to defend the pure teaching of separation because I see it. I see what they're saying. And really, God has made it clear to me. Maybe you understood it before, but you say, I understand it. I think I understand. If somebody uses the wrong term, legalism, I understand what it means. And I'll know how to handle myself in regard to it. Who would raise your hand and say, yep, I got it. I understand it. I see it. Yep, lots of hands. You may put those hands down. We're going to take a moment and have an altar call. Some of you, I hope you'll come. And maybe there's some things in your life that you need to separate from. And I've not even talked about a bunch of things this evening. But maybe you know there's some things in your life and you need to get away from the negative, get to the positive, get away from the bad, get to the good. Get away from darkness, get into light. Separate from some things to better help your Christianity. Not to be saved, but to behave like a saved person should. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer bulletins ready, in a few moments we're going to use them. Separation is not legalism. Not legalism. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, said John in John 1:29. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace prompts separation in the life after separation is a reality. Thank you, Rachel.